Today of everything we talked about, and we're going to start out in Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 41 through 47. If you can turn there, Acts chapter 2 and verses 41 through 47, we're going to talk about what the Lord will have in store for us to do today. While you turn there, let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, I pray that it is our prayer today, the Lord, that our prayer is that you would take our life, Lord, that you would use it for your honor and glory. That God, we would be submissive to give you our heart, to give you our life, and to let you work in our life, the Lord, to do your will. And God, I pray today that as we read your word, that you anoint the reading of your word. And Father, that your word would go out, that it would accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. God, that it would convict us where we need convicting. That, Father, it would recharge us, renew us, revive us, refresh us, the Lord, where we need revived and renewed and refreshed. And God, that you would just keep the devil at bay, bind him up, keep him as demons and workers out of here, the Lord, and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives. God, we give the service to you. We give the message to you, the Lord. And Father, we just ask for your will to be done through it. God, we just welcome you here in this place and thank you for your sweet spirit and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit already meeting with us today. God, we thank you for that. Lord, we welcome you in this place. God, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Talking about our view, in view of our vision, purpose, and mission. And we talked about the first weeks that we begin our blueprint series on how to be a church that attracts. How to be a church that attracts. And my friends, there are several things that we can talk about, several things that we can go in and that we discussed in the senior adult Sunday school class today on how to be that church that attracts. God wants us to be a people that attracts, a Christian that attracts, a church that attracts, that is for his use, for his honor and glory. So how to be a church that attracts. Look back at Acts chapter 2 in these verses here. I think that we can see in the early church that we can gain wisdom and understanding of the early church and what the early church did and how we can accept those things and apply them to our life and be that same church that the early church was in the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 through 47, it says this. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. It said, and fear came upon every soul, and every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be added. And I talked about when we did this message earlier a few weeks back, how to be a church that attracts. And there were several things that I picked up on here and several things that were mentioned in Sunday school class today. When it starts out in that first verse, it says they were gladly received his what? His word. They received his word. One of the ways that you can be a church that attracts, one of the ways that we can be people that are attracted is by what? Presenting what? The word. Present. Are y'all with me? Are you sure you're with me? Say amen. 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 Do y'all see that same verse that I'm looking at up there on that screen? Huh? Y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. I don't believe you. Y'all sitting back here like a bunch of thuddy duds. Y'all sitting here all quiet, moping and everything else. Y'all know that I don't do with that. Amen. Amen. We're Christians, right? Amen. We're a child of God, right? We're the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and everything Jesus has, we're entitled to, so we're heirs of the throne. Amen. Right. So that ought to make a Baptist shout. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all with me? All right, I shouldn't have to go through this every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. I don't understand you. You come to church and you're just like this. Bless God, he done a lot for me. Amen. He changed my heart and saved my soul. So are you with me? Say amen. All right, then they gladly put a smile on your face. Smile. Some of you ain't smiled in a month. Smile. It'll do your body good. It'll do your heart good. It said they gladly. Is that what it said? Gladly received his what? His word. And then they were baptized, you and me. have the awesome privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus. We have the awesome privilege of sending out His word. And it said they received the word gladly and were baptized. So one of the things that this early church had going for them, that it was a church that attracted people, was there were people that presented the word. There were people that stood on the word. There were people that preached the word. There were folks that delivered the word. And the folks received the word gladly. That's you. You done fell to pieces on me again. And there were folks that received the word. I'm going to come out here with you because guess what? Before I can ever preach it, God done convicted me 4 or 5 times and you only get it 1 time. It says, so then they that gladly, woo, are you smiling? They gladly what? Received His word. And were baptized in the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this early church had it going on. This early church did what? They presented what? The word. Amen. They presented the word and people followed that. Not only that, but when I look at it, they added 3,000 of them daily. It said, and they continued steadfastly. What does that mean? They didn't stray away. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. What was that? That's the word. They continued steadfastly in the word. And what? Fellowship. Y'all like fellowship? And we're going to have fellowship in a little bit with some chili back there. Y'all don't need to vote on nobody else's because mine's number one anyhow. Anyhow, in the doctrine, fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. That's what the early church was about. That's what we're about. The same thing, being a church that attracts. And being that church that attracts is continuing steadfastly in the doctrines, apostles, and doctrine. Continue to fellowship and break bread in prayers. That's what we should do when we come to church. That's who we are as children of God, as men and women of God, as Christians, as children of God. We're to continue steadfastly in the word. We can continue to break bread with one another. Fellowship with one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. That's what it's about. That's what the early church did. And that's the reason the early church was successful. And 2,000 to 3,000 souls were being added to them daily. So if we can continue that pattern in doing what the early church did, my friends, we're on the right track. And it said in verse 43, and fear come upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done in the apostles. Many wonders or signs. God did some amazing things. God brought about healing. God was saving souls. He was doing some amazing things. Why? Because they were steadfast in the word. They didn't move away from God's word. They continued to fellowship, break bread, and in prayers. And God began to do some amazing things. And awesome wonders and signs were being done. And all believed. Were what in verse 44? And all believed were what? Together, and they had all things what? Common. They were together and they had all things common. My friend, in the early church, they had these things going on. They were together with one another. They had all things common with one another. And that's the way it should be in the house of God, coming together with believers, encouraging one another, loving one another, uplifting one another, fellowshipping one another, breaking bread with one another, and prayers with one another, and continue steadfastly in apostles' preaching and doctrine and in the word of God. And God will begin to add to the church, and we'll be the church that attracts, and we'll be those that attract people to come and visit with us to see what God is doing. It said in verse 45, and they sold their possessions and good, and they parted them unto all men, as every man had need. It said, and they what? In verse 46 says what? And they what? Continued daily. Continued every once in a while. Continued here and there. Continued when? Continued daily with what? One accord in the temple and doing what? Breaking bread. And what? From house to house. And they did what? Eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart, with a smile on their face, excited about being in God's house, happy about what's going on. Are you happy in Jesus today? Say amen. 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 Now you're with me. Praise the Lord. I don't have to jump across your seat now. Happy. Happy in the Lord, smiling with gladness in their heart. And then verse 47 says what? Praising what? praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How to be a church that attracts. If we take on the same principles as the early church did in the book of Acts, we'll be a church that attracts. A church that is appealing. A church that is inviting people to come to the Lord. A church that knows how to praise God. And as I said, I know we're Baptists, and sometimes Baptists are thuddy duds, but there ain't no Baptist or thuddy dud at Crossroad Community Church, because I don't have them. Amen. Because there ain't no Baptist at Crossroad Community Churches. That's a thuddy dud, isn't it? That's pitiful. About 10 of y'all are excited to be here today. About 10 of you are excited about what God has done in your life. So I guess I just take a seat, and when y'all get excited, I'll finish up my message. Good gracious. Good gracious. We ain't like normal Baptists, are we? No. Why? Because what? Hey, somebody's excited up front. Who said that? Woo! Come on up. You can be my cheerleader, darling. At least one of us excited over there. Excited about what God has done for us. Excited, praising God and having favor with people. And the Lord added to the church daily. We should be excited about what the Lord has done to us. Listen, I know what he's done for me. If y'all were here last Sunday, you got a little bit about what he done for me. Amen. That's something to be excited about. You know, and I said, if the Lord can change me, he can change anybody. Amen. And make us all excited about what he's done in our life. How to be a church that attracts. Oh, listen, we talked about it in the senior adult class today. You know, a church that's exciting, a church that's attracting, is when they come through the front door, they are greeted, they're loved. And at the meet and greet time, they get the hand shaked. Get the hand shaked. They get the head hugged, neck hugged. And you greet them with one another and love them and make sure they're excited about being here and say, I love you, I appreciate you, thank you for being here. Give them a hug and love, amen, and make them feel welcome so that when we get our snowbirds visiting with us all the way from Ohio, they come all the way back and say, I want to be here. I want to be here. Why? Because I feel the love of God. Because I feel the love of God in the church. And when we come here, oh, listen, they said earlier, and you said the Spirit bears witness with one another. And he said when you walk in the door, you can feel the Spirit of God moving. You can feel the Spirit working. And you can see the love and the excitement. Right, Tammy? And be excited about what God is doing. You see her up here in the praise team. She's excited about what Jesus is doing to her because she's like this. Amen. She's praising God. Amen. Now, I know it's a Baptist church, and if y'all think you're dancing to church, you're going to hell, but okay. You know, but it's time to have fun in God's house. Amen. I come to have fun because of what God's done for me. It's exciting. Oh, maybe you can get up there. Maybe it'll do some of y'all good to stand up there and shake a leg sometime. I don't know. You know, maybe it'll help you out. Maybe it'll redo the soul. It'll revive you, renew you, refresh you. Amen. Oh, listen, God's done something great for me. Not only that, but how to be a church that attracts. How to be a church that attracts. And a vision and purpose, number two, is we are to be a church building believers for Christ. Building believers for Christ. And you remember, as we talked about that, we had several people line up. They had all these tools in their hand. I said, I can give these individuals these tools, and they can go out and they can build and they can make things. My friend, God gave us everything we need to build Christians in Christ. God gave us everything we need to build a church for his honor and glory. It's called the Word of God. And sharing that and pouring our life into people, building believers for him. Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 16 says this. It says, and he gave what? Some apostles and some what? Prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for to perfect you, to perfect me, so that what we do is to toot my horn, is to toot your horn. For what? For perfecting what? The saints. For the work that you do at your job, which you should do all the time. For the work you're doing on your job. For the work of this, for what? The work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ. Everything we do should bring Him honor and glory. Everything we should do is to edify one another, build one another up for Jesus, for His honor and glory, building up those till we all come in what? Unity of faith and of the what? Knowledge of the Son of God unto a half-wholehearted man, unto a man that's worth nothing in the ministry, unto what? A perfect man, unto the measure and the statues of the what? Fullness of who? Fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking what? The truth in love, that may grow up in Him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to what? The effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Building believers in Christ, equipping them, building them. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers for perfecting the saints. For the what? Work of the ministry in a church, my friend, in a vision and the purpose of us is to be here and to pour our heart and our soul out to individuals to help them come to a full knowledge of understanding of God's Word, to train them, to help them to grow in knowledge of the Word of God, that they can turn around and pass to others and give it on to others, and Brother James can turn around and pass it to Brother John, and Brother John can sit there and minister to somebody else, and it goes on down the line, and then we're perfecting one another, perfecting the saints of God for the work of the ministry. And believe me, it takes every single person in here to make the ministry work. It takes every single one of us in here working together. As I said, teamwork. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Together, everyone accomplishes ministry. It takes a team of you and me to be successful in God's ministry. And that's what He calls us to do, building and equipping believers for Christ. That is what He taught in the early church. That's what they did. And that's the examples He left behind for you and me to teach and to train others. Not only that, but we talked about caring for the need of others and our own. We talked about that, and you remember I stood at the door with the Band-Aids and gave everybody a Band-Aid, because sometimes we need to pull out a Band-Aid and heal a wound, patch a wound, or something along those natures, my friend. He tells us caring for the need of others and our own. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 15, he says this. He said, therefore, I thought it necessary to what? Exhort the brother, build one another up in Christ, encourage one another. It's so easy to take a finger and point at somebody. It's so easy to say, Courtney, I'm going to tear you up when I get home, even though I'm your uncle. Your daddy gave me permission. You better straighten it up. I'm going to tear you up. All right, I'm tell you what, Brother James, you really got on my skin today. And buddy, when this church service is over with, me and you going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Yeah, it's easy to say. It's easy to go say, Miss Marie, me and you got some beef. We're going to have to straighten it out. You know, but it's so easy to say, Miss Marie did the ying, 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 ying. You said that, you know, it's so easy to say, Miss Sandy. I pick on her every chance I get. You know, it's so easy to say that or other. But my friend, what Jesus wants to do is lend a hand. Amen. Lend a hand, raise up, get a Band-Aid and put it on and heal it. He said, therefore, it's necessary to exalt the brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would go before you and make beforehand your bounty. It's saying here, and it says, wherefore he had noticed before that the same night be ready as matter of bounty and not as covetousness. In verse 6, he said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make grace abound toward you, that you always have in what? All sufficiency in all things. May abound to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to... Here goes my farmer boys right here. Y'all like verse 10. Here we go. Now he that ministered seed to the sower both ministered bread for your food. Thanking the Lord for the farmer today. Amen.
Amen.
We have food on our table. And thanking the one for the ones that were wise enough to cover up the crop. Because some of them didn't and they all burnt. I was looking for some potatoes. Amen. He says, for him that soweth minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, minister to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, he said, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While being the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for their unspeakable gift. 1 Timothy 5:3-8 goes on to say this. It said, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephew, let them first show pity at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those in his own house, he denied the faith, is worse than an infidel. We're to take care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to take care of one another and do what God has required us to do, and showing that love and taking care of one another and taking care of those, especially it said, in the household of faith. That's the reason we come together. As I said several times, without faith, family, and friends, what will we have? What would we have without faith, family, and friends? What would you be? What would we have? I can tell you right now, we'd be some miserable individuals without our faith, family, and friends. We'd be miserable individuals because we come together as a body of Christ. We come together as believers in the Lord, caring for one another, caring for the practical needs of those that are in the community, in the church, and our families and things of that nature. That's what the early church did. They went about caring for those needs of individuals, and God began to bless them and add to the church on a daily basis, and we're to do those same kind of concepts. And I said earlier when I preached that message a few weeks ago about Band-Aids. Maybe it's time that you take a Band-Aid out. Maybe you've lashed out. Maybe you've hurt somebody. Maybe they've hurt you or whatever. It's time to pull the Band-Aid out and do some healing and restoration and restoring. Amen? Sometimes it takes that. And as a body of believers and as children of God, sometimes we need to go into the first aid kit and pull out what we need necessary to make ends meet, to make amends of something, to bring about healing. My friends, those things have to happen in your life and my life. So not only that, not only caring for the needs of others and our own, but we talked about number four, to energize, to equip, to minister, and to disciple. We talked about that, like the Energizer Bunny and the battery or the 5-hour energy drink. My friends, we got everything we need in Jesus. Amen. We need to exercise that. He tells us in Matthew 25 and verse 34 and following, he says this. He said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee? Thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto me? And the king shall answer and say unto thee, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. He's teaching us about energy, energizing, ministry, discipleship, and equipping people. He tells us in Ephesians 4:11-12, he says this again, you gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He tells us in 2 Timothy 2:1-2, he says this, Thou therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in who? Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men who should be able to what? Teach others also. Ministering, discipleshipping, encouraging, exalting, building one another up, folks. Encouraging one another in the Lord. Getting excited in Jesus and things of that nature is what he calls us to do. That's how to be a church that attracts. A church that attracts others. Training faithful men to carry out the work of the ministry. To do the will of God. To do what God has encouraged us to do. He gave those to the church, my friends. And it's our job to train those up. To be energized to do that. That's the reason I say every Sunday, you come in on Wednesday. I know it's been tough. I know you've had a tough week. I know you've been through a lot. Working on the job, working in the fields, covering up your crops and things of that nature for cold weather. All that you go through, teaching kids, all you teachers in here, and things of that nature, working all week long in the world. And it just exasperates you. It sucks the life out of you and things of that nature. That's the reason when we come into the house of God that I try to preach exciting, encouraging, motivating messages so that we can get revived, refreshed, and renewed so that we can go out the door again and start all over. Because this world's tough. It's tough, my friends, and we need one another. We need the encouragement of one another. We need the love from one another. We need the excitement in Christ, my friends. Listen, the world does a good job of tearing you and me down. The world does a good job every week, week in and week out. We should come into the house of God, be renewed, revived, and refreshed, so that when we go out, we can conquer the world again in Jesus' name. We can conquer the world again because he says, for greater is he that's in me than he that's of the world. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can make it through the week with Christ that strengthens you. You can make it through the week again. Not only that, but a church that attracts. The last thing we want to talk about is fellowship among believers, which we'll be doing earlier. Fellowship among believers. That's found in Philippians 1. And verse 3 through 8 says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. Your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that which he hath begun, a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You need to underline that right there. What God has started in you, what he hath begun, a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Will perform it in you, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I've longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He goes on to tell us in Philippians 2, 1 through 5, he says this, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort or love, if any what? Fellowship of the Spirit, in any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Light-minded, having the same what? Love, being of what? One accord and of one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than ourselves, looking not every man in his own things, but every man also at the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Oh, if we just do that and take that and learn it and apply it. As I said, when I go back through this, and we talked about a church that attracts. On that message, I brought out a fishing pole, if you remember, and a tackle box. And I said, when we go fishing, we have all kind of lures and baits in the tackle box, depending on what we're going fishing for. Whether it's brim, whether it's bass, whatever, you have all that at your exposure in the tackle box. But my friends, I want to tell you something. Satan has a lot of tools in his tackle box, too. And he has a lot of things that he would love to stray and draw you and me away. But not only that, but God has the amazing tools in his box for you and me. And it's called the Word of God. Amen. It's called the Word of God. and breaking it out and using it. Not only that, but building believers. As I said, you take the tools, my friend. And I lined everybody up here when I preached that message and gave them hammers and measuring tapes and nails and handing nails out to you at the door. My friend, building believers in Christ. That's what he gave for you and me to do. We have that equipment, and we have everything that we need to do that when it comes to the Word of God. Not only that, but I said caring for others, and we use Band-Aids and we pass them out. My friend, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what needs to be repaired on you. I don't know who's crushed your heart. I don't know what's happening. I don't know the hurt that you're going through today, but I know the healer, and his name is Jesus. I know the healer, and his name is Jesus. I don't know what needs to be patched up or a Band-Aid that needs to be put in your life. But my friends, I know if you'll let Jesus patch it up, you'll be okay. If you let him patch it up, you'll be okay. Oh, listen. And energize and equip into fellowship with one another. And then we talked about the experience and worship with Jamer last week. And he talked about worshiping God and ways to do that. And then we talked about, my friends, with the excitement. And we talked about last week in the book of Acts, just where we were, over in the third chapter. We talked about Peter and John. And Peter and John, they went up to the temple. And at the gate called Beautiful. And there was a beggar there. There was a man there, beggar, that was sitting at that gate. And he was begging for alms. And he was begging for somebody to come by and help him that he can make ends meet. Oh, my friends, it said Peter and John walked by. And when they walked by, the man started begging for alms. And Peter fixed his eyes on the man and says, "Listen, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk." Peter and John didn't have silver and gold, but they had Jesus. And my friends, what that man received that day was more, better than any money could ever bought. My friend, he received his healing. He received strength, and he received Jesus. And all that he received, he was able to go out. And as you remember, I got old Brad up and had him going with me. And I don't even, come on with me. I got Brad up and had Brad going. Let me turn my mic off.
Oh, yeah.
Skip and hop because she got high heels on. But we got them. And what do? Turned around the thing. And we were praising God and shouting to God and thanking God for the healing and what God had done and restored under that man. And it said that man was excited, and that man glorified God. And the man was excited about what God had done, excited in his life. And he let it be known, and it said he went out, and it said after he was healed, it said he sat down in the middle of everything and did nothing.
Nope.
Said after the man was healed, he stayed there and sat down, Miss Sandy, and he did nothing.
Nope.
That's not what it said. Said after that man was healed, what did he do?
Follow
you can
Jesus.
Skip and hop and jump. Said what did he do after that man was saved? What did he do?
Follow
he began
Jesus.
To leap in and jump in and hop in. Jump, 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 jump. Amen. See, there he did it. Leaping, hopping, and jumping. Why? Because of what God done in his life. Folks, listen to me. I promise you, you get a good dose of Jesus, and you'll be crazy like me.
Amen.
All right. Be crazy like me. Get a good dose of Jesus, you'll be crazy like me. People tell me all the time, you ain't nothing but a nut. I say, yeah, but I'm screwed on to the right bolt, and his name's Jesus. Amen. What about you? Are you screwed on to the right bolt today? His name is Jesus. Amen. Oh, if you not, he stands with his arms open wide saying, come on. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, and I give you rest. Oh, listen, you need renewed, revived, restrained, and refreshed today. Give it to the Lord. He'll do it for you. Oh, you had a tough week. You've had some knots and bruises and bumps and scratches. Give it to the Lord. He'll take care of you. Oh, you want to come pray with me? I'll pray with you. Maybe you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. I don't know. You come forward and I share with you in Scripture what you must do to be saved. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I'd love to be your church, and this church would love to be the family of God for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you come.